Grace to you and peace from God our Father this morning and from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's begin this week, as we did last week, with John chapter 5. Hear again these precious words of our Lord Jesus Christ and hear them afresh from his own lips. He says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." Now, last week, we talked about the resurrection to judgment, the doctrine of hell. This week, we're talking about the resurrection to life, the doctrine of heaven. What can we know about heaven? What can we know about our life there in the world to come? Is heaven real? How do we get there? And what is it like? This is what I'd like to talk with you about today. What does God say to us? What can we learn? What can we know about the world to come? Well, the first thing I think God would like to say to us today about this very subject, about heaven, is if you want to know about the world to come, then don't go consulting this world about it. I think you all bear witness that the world has a lot of crazy notions about what heaven is like, false notions. Let me give you some of their guesses and thoughts on heaven. Muslims think heaven is 72 virgins. Hindus don't believe in heaven. They believe they'll be reincarnated on earth. Buddhists don't believe in heaven. New Agers believe heaven is attaining higher consciousness. An agnostic believes, I'm going to a better place, but what it's like, I don't know. I'm going to meet the guy upstairs, the big man. Others say, I'll see St. Peter and those pearly gates. And he'll have a checklist. And if all goes well and I've done enough good, he'll give me a halo and wings and I'll become an angel. And the best answer chosen by voters on one website said this, and I quote, "Heaven is all fluffy, white and beautiful with clouds, marshmallows, harps, violins, and everyone's barefoot." Marshmallows? Barefoot, it sounds more like Woodstock than heaven, or at least a camp out. And the popular Hollywood view is you go through a tunnel, you see a bright light, and suddenly it's as if God rented 1,000 dry ice machines and you're in a land of mist. And there's nothing to see there. It's just a hazy place, blurry, white clouds. Everyone has white hair, white robes, white wings, everything's white, 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 and there's nothing there to see, and nothing there really to do. Is this not the blind leading the blind? Would you go to the world, God says, to learn about my world? Ask a blind man who's never seen color to describe to you a sunset bursting with crimson reds, pinks, blues, and golds, and he could not tell you. Neither can Hollywood or the world tell you about heaven. Isn't this the blind leading the blind? So then what I want you to do right now is to root out this very moment from your minds those images and views that they've put there. They're not helpful. That's point number one. Don't consult the world and be on guard against their influence. Well, point number two. If you want to know about heaven, then consult God, for he knows. He lives there. It's his world, after all. He can tell you. Now, why is it important for us today to have a sermon like this and to hear about heaven and to get a biblical, right picture of the world to come? Well, the answer is because if you have the world's view of heaven, who would pursue it? Am I going to risk all and suffer even death for marshmallows and cotton balls and white clouds and nothing to do? Is heaven boring, I want to ask? Consider this view I found on the internet this week. One person said, what do we do in heaven for all eternity? I mean, yes, worshiping God and all, but do we do anything all day but sing and worship? Most people can't wait to get out of church on Sunday to do what they want to do. We're talking in eternity here. Now, I understand. I've been where you are. I've been in the pew. If you were all preachers, we'd probably be going on 24/7 here all week long. But when you're in the pew, I understand sometimes the service seems a little long. You get partway through the service, and then all of a sudden visions of the Portside Galley begin dancing in your head. You have this certain rumbling in your tummy. And you think, how long, O Lord, how long? And then you think that heaven is like a church service, and you go, ugh, forever and ever and ever, and he's going to be preaching on and on and on, and we're going to be singing, and is that all we do? The point is, if our picture of heaven is off, you're never going to want to pursue heaven. If you think it's a dull, colorless, boring place, who would pursue that? Who would suffer and die for marshmallows and clouds and cotton balls? God, let him fill your mind with pictures and images of the world to come, with the result that you seek this world with all your heart and soul until faith becomes sight. So I want to ask this question then, is heaven boring? Is it? Let's read what Jesus says about heaven. Matthew 13, verse 44 and following. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Jesus says, the kingdom, heaven, is like treasure that is beyond all the treasures of the world combined. It is a pearl of such supreme value that you would be willing to sell everything you have in this life to attain it. The scriptures are clear about these things. Jesus says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. In Luke 12, he says, don't seek what you are to eat, what you are to drink, nor be of anxious mind, for all the nations of the world seek these things. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added unto you. Do you know what? If these statements were false, if these statements are true, then, these statements would make no sense unless heaven's glory was so marvelous that it's beyond all comparison. So let me ask you this question right now. Is heaven real? Is it really a place? Is there really a world to come, a better country on the other side of the grave? The answer, absolutely yes. According to Scripture, there are only two possible destinies of man. There is heaven and there is hell. The Scriptures are clear. God warns us to avoid hell, and he encourages us to gain heaven, and he's done everything to make the way straight there and open for us. Jesus says, strive to enter by the narrow door. Enter what? Enter heaven. Hebrews, it says, let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Luke 12, instead seek his kingdom, and these will be added unto you. So heaven certainly does exist, and there is a new world coming. But how do we get there? Answer again from God is, don't consult the world. They don't even know what heaven looks like, or where it is, or any of its characteristics. How can they know the way? A similar conversation took place one day between Jesus and the disciples. Jesus said, and you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. To enter into this place, Jesus is the door. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Redeemer. Jesus is our salvation, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to this place except by him. And he died for our sins to take them away on the cross and rose again to give us a kingdom as a gift by grace to all who trust in him and follow him. We're saved by faith, but it's also important to follow Jesus. That's the other side of faith. For it says in Matthew 19, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who's left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for not my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." So I say, do you believe? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And then, having been saved, are you now following our Lord Jesus? Well, next question is, what is heaven like? And this is really the heart of the matter I want to talk about today. What is this kingdom for which we strive? Well, first of all, it's a kingdom with a king, who is Jesus. And this is a great joy in itself, isn't it? There was a story I once read of a dying man, a Christian, who asked his pastor to describe to him about that world to which he was to come. The pastor hesitated, and then he heard a scratching at the door. It was his dog, who had heard his voice and come up to see him. And he says to the dying man, "Do you hear that? It's my dog. He's right outside the door. I left him downstairs, but he's grown impatient because he heard my voice, and he's come up to see me. He has no idea what's inside this door in your house, but he knows that I am here, and this excites him." Isn't it the same for you? Friends, we don't know everything about what heaven's like, but we know that it's a kingdom, and our king is there, our master. So I want to ask, are your tails wagging? Are you excited about that? For he is a good king, and he rules and keeps a very good kingdom. We also know something else about this kingdom, that it's been prepared for us. Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he'll separate one from another, the sheep from the goats. And he'll place the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, O blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food," etc. Prepared from the foundation of the world. We looked at the children's sermon, all those beautiful shells. Would you say God's a good creator? He's done wonderful things, hasn't he? Well, he has this kingdom prepared for you. It's been in the works for a long time. It's been in his mind, an eternal kingdom for you. Do you want to hear what God's plans are? Would you like me to give you a little secret? Ephesians 2, it says, God's plan is that, verse 7, in the coming ages, to show to us the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That's God's plan. That in this kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, my plan, says God, is to show you the immeasurable riches of my grace and kindness toward you. This is a wonderful thing, wouldn't you agree? Look at this world that God's made. But this world that God made for sinners, he knew was going to be for sinners, and that it would fall into corruption and be put away. Do you think that this world that he has prepared for those who have believed in him, who have been scorned for him, who've suffered and died for him, is going to be less than the beauty of this world? Are we just waiting around for cotton balls and gauze pads and cotton swabs? Is this what God has prepared for those who love him? Oh, the world that is for sinners has purple mountains and turquoise seas, but the world for my saved people is marshmallows. That's ridiculous. Of course it's better. And when will God reveal these things? Well, when we die, we go to heaven. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, yes, we're of good courage, and we'd rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So when we die, we go to be with Christ. But God has prepared for us something more than simply heaven. Can you believe it? On the last day, he has promised to do and give us some marvelous things on the day when Christ returns on the clouds of heaven. Promised to give us not simply a spirit only, but also a body. Paul says in Philippians 3, their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. You know, Hollywood, if you want to trust Hollywood, if you want to think that's what heaven's like, then you would be forever a waif, an ethereal spirit, a ghost. Casper, the friendly ghost, the friendliest ghost you know. Is that what God has prepared for you? God has prepared for you a glorified body. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, at the last trumpet note. For the trumpet will sound, this is when Christ descends and comes again, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable nature must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm not going to be Casper. I'm not going to be just a spirit. I'm going to be a spirit with a glorified body, which Paul says is raised in power and honor and in glory, for fit for eternity. And friends, it's not that far off. You remember in Christmas time when you're a kid, you're looking for those Christmas presents under the tree. You see them ahead of time, don't you? And you wonder what might be in them. And there sure seems to be a lot under the tree. But they're to be opened on the day fixed by the head of the household on that Christmas morn. Well, our presents in that way are to be opened on the day when the trumpet sounds, when the Lord descends from heaven, when the heavens and the earth are put away. For Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all eyes will see him, and the heavens are put away, and he'll sit on his glorious throne. Then will be gathered before him all the nations. He'll separate the sheep from the goats. And then he'll say, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. So see the gifts under the tree. I mean, it would be enough for me to be in heaven with Christ, for sure. But now we have even more immeasurable riches of grace with a new body. Do you know that we're going to be above angels? What's it say in 1 Corinthians 6? Do you not know that we will judge angels? Angels sinned, right? And God condemned the demons, who the angels become evil, with Satan, and they're condemned forever. Mankind sinned, and God became a man to redeem us. And in the coming world, he's not promised angels that they'll sit with him on his glorious throne. He's promised man that he will sit with him on his glorious throne. We will be above angels. We'll be like them, but above them. Unbelievable, God's grace to us, but believable. And what is he going to create? It says a new heavens and a new earth. Peter says, 2 Peter 3, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. And then the earth and the works that are upon it will be exposed. But according to his promise, we wait for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So, if you are from Hollywood, what are you waiting around for? Marshmallows. But if you are a Christian and know the truth, what are you waiting around for? You are waiting around for a beautiful new world. Here we have a picture of our world even now, of a river and a forest green. Here we have a blue ocean on a sandy, on a rocky shore. Here we have a golden sunset by sand dunes. Here we have blue ice on some northern lake. Here we have glistening frost on a beautiful wintry forest. Here we have a sparrow with a virgin green of summer all around. Here we have an iridescent hummingbird with a crimson pink flower. And here we have a dragonfly with aqua blue in the background with greens and purple violet. Now God, I want you to understand, is creating a new heavens and a new earth, okay? The world thinks it's simply a mist, like ice machines and marshmallows. God didn't save you for gauze pads. God didn't save you for cotton balls. We got a new heavens and a new earth, and you got to fix that in your mind, because that's what God wants you to pursue. Because it says in Romans 8, for the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. For the creation will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. The meek shall inherit the earth. Abraham, it says, was promised the world. John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Does that mean we got to get rid of the pictures of the sea in here? Well, it could mean that. I don't think it does, because Revelation is symbolic. I think it's talking about the sea of glass that is pictured there before the throne. The sea symbolizing chaos and sin. Sin and chaos will be put away, but God's creating a new heavens and a new earth. Is it colorful in your mind? Is it what God has described it to be? For no, but the lion shall be there and lie down with the lamb, and a little child shall lead them. And the characteristic of this kingdom, my friends, is love. But according to his promise, we wait for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Remember that great song, Louis Armstrong? What a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people passing by. I see friends shaking hands saying, how do you do?
Very the same. I love you.
I try. The new world is going to be love under a God of love, under a king who is called the King of Love, and we ourselves perfected in love. Gone are the days of people laughing at you, but come are the days of laughing with people. For the wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea, says our God. Ah! And finally, this kingdom, God will be with us as our Father and our brother. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them, and they will be, and he will be their God. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So in conclusion, we're only getting a glimpse today, just like that big shell couldn't fit into the mind of that glass bowl in the children's sermon, but you only got a little piece of it could get in there. This is what I'm describing to you. But I want you to understand, it's color, it's a world. And Marco Polo, the great 13th century Venetian explorer, when he lay dying, was urged by his enemies to recant, saying, withdraw your stories that you told about China and the lands of the Far East. But Marco Polo refused, saying, I've not told you the half of what I saw there. My friends, I've not told you the millionth of what is to be seen there in the kingdom to come. There's inestimably more. For now we look through a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I've been fully known. So then, let's look carefully then how we walk, that we follow Christ, and keep to the gospel, that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. And God keep us steadfast in the truth, in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, in whom we're sealed until that day. And I say, fear not, little flock, God says, actually. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Daniel, then those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Amen.